Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'll be your host for the next hour here on WFMU Freeform Station of the Nation, live from Jersey City in the great state of New Jersey. So happy you're here with me, and I'm happy to be with you as well. I'm just happy in general. I'm just a happy guy on this show, right? Okay. Okay, I know that on many shows, some would say most, I have some sort of bad news, some grim scenario, some emerging catastrophe. I know, I get it. And once in a while, someone will say to me, Mark, how about some good news? And that's not totally fair, because I do try to make a point of pointing out the good when I see it, but admittedly, that is a tag or an add-on to an interview or an explanation of what's happening in the news. It's not usually the main thrust of an episode, is good news, except for tonight. Maybe I've done it in the past, but tonight is something different. We are going to be celebrating some very, very good news, which I'm going to get to here in a second. I just have to take care of something else, which is I just want to say thanks to the listeners who showed up last night downstairs in Monty Hall for Stand By for Failure, a documentary about Negative Land. I was there, station manager Ken was there, and I saw Jody Peyote, I saw Susie Hot Rod, and Jim the Poet was there. We had a great group, and some listeners came up and introduced themselves, and so it was great meeting the listeners to the station, a couple Tectonic listeners as well. So thanks to everyone who showed up and came out, and thanks also to Ryan Worsley, who's the director of the documentary, for zooming in, and Ruth and John and Glenn for putting everything together. It was a really fun event. And actually, speaking of good news, one of the examples of occasional good news that I'm able to find in these interviews was my interview last week with John Leideker, a.k.a. Wobbly, who's part of Negative Land. If you don't know anything about Negative Land or John, I would urge you to listen to last week's show. But John, near the end of the interview, was talking about AI projects that he is excited about, because they are showing real creativity as people try to, as he put it, break the tools and see what emerges from breaking the tools. And he pointed to some specific projects, and I linked to them on the playlist. And so that's an example of Tectonic trying to find the good in otherwise, you know, find the silver lining, I guess, in an otherwise stormy cloud, so to speak. And that's usually the way it goes in an episode where what I'm doing is raising the alarm about something that people don't know about, and it's usually bad news. But last week, speaking of last week's show, right before I went on air, I mean, just a couple of hours before, the news broke that the Google antitrust lawsuit had been finally decided by Judge Amit Mehta. And this is a lawsuit that was brought about by the Department of Justice, specifically the Antitrust Division, of course, which is led by Jonathan Cantor. And the good news, beyond good news, is that the judgment was for the Department of Justice and against Google. And I thought, this is such huge news, which I'll get into. I don't want to simply read off the news and say, that was good news. You know, that just doesn't express it. And so I can't just express it in a monologue at how important this is and how happy I am and how happy we should all be at this moment. So I thought, you know, we should really think about what are some party tunes that we could bring up that would express this? In fact, not just party tunes, can we run an episode like a party? Is that possible? Is it possible, friends? Can you run Tectonic as a party? Not every week. Not every Monday. You don't want to party every Monday. But my friends, this is big news. As I will explain to you during the episode, this is the biggest news in the tech industry in over 20 years. Oh yeah. And the news is in our favor. For once. I've been telling you for 7 years almost, get off Google. Be careful with Google. And finally, friends, the judgment came down. Huh. And you know what the judgment was? We were right. Come on, everybody. I want you to get up. I want you to get up out of the chair. Come on. Can I hear what you think? That's right. It's time to party, friends. We'll be right back. All right, friends. Did you dance? I heard some of you on the comment board saw you. Some of you were dancing. I hope you were dancing out there. We're dancing in favor, in celebration of the Google antitrust decision that came out in favor of us, the citizens. Boy, it's crowded in here, huh? Get yourself something to drink if you want. I see on the comment board... Greg from Zone 5 and I are having the same drink. We're having the good seltzer. Break out the good seltzer. Hey, listen, if you can hear me over the crowd, I just want to say something about this ruling. This ruling is important because Google is now over $3 trillion, okay, in market cap. And it has been acting for the last... however many years, as though it was unaccountable, it was above the law. And it's just at this moment, we have scored a victory against one of the largest companies in history, showing that it is still possible for citizens, for the law, to do something in response to misbehavior on the part of multi-trillion dollar corporations. It gives me hope. Can you believe that? Gives me hope. Something happened in the tech industry that gives me hope. So, you know, maybe should we step outside? This is so loud in here. Let's step outside. Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about this case before we get back to, I know I want to play some more dance music, but again, we need to have the full context that this antitrust trial had to do with Google paying Apple, among other things. It was paying Apple billions of dollars a year in order to be the default search engine on both iPhones and iPads. So if you have an iPhone surveillance device or an iPad surveillance device, and you want to do a search, if you want to search the web, it is going to default to searching Google. Now, there is a way to go through some choice screens in the back and change that to something else. I know DuckDuckGo is an option. Perhaps Brave Search is an option. There's a few alternatives out there that are, and Bing, I think, is an option, that are not Google. But most people, as we know, most people are not going to change the default. And so basically what Google was doing was handing Apple billions of dollars to make sure that Apple would not change that behavior so that when users went onto their surveillance device to do a search, they were going to search on Google. Well, that is monopolistic behavior. I mean, we've known it for a long time, and now the judge came down and said, yes, that is officially illegal. That is against the antitrust law, specifically the Sherman Act. which I'm not going to get into. But basically, when you have a company that's that big, that's using its massive resources to keep out any possibility of competition, that's kind of the definition of what a monopoly does and what we don't want in this economy, because you get the effects that you get from Google, which is they think they're unaccountable, they're above the law, and they can stop innovating, they can stop thinking about the user experience and anything, creating anything really good for the people who are affected by this tool. And indeed, when AI burst onto the scene about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, Google immediately started shoveling money into AI to try to jam AI into its search results. And I've talked about this on a number of shows. Google's search results have seriously declined in quality in the last couple of years, especially in the last year. They are trying desperately to remain relevant or to be perceived as relevant in the face of this AI explosion. And so you have things where people have pointed out, when people have asked questions within Google search, how to do certain things, certain recipes, Google is coming back with crazy and potentially harmful, even lethal suggestions in its search results. I mean, it's just a terrible decline in search quality. So you would think, friends, if people are really seeking out the very best, then they would naturally gravitate away from Google, but they don't. And the reason they don't is because Google has invested so much money, not in improving its service for the users. No, they've invested so much money in keeping users locked up through these default agreements with Apple and others. And so the argument from the government side was, if you're not a monopoly, then people must be choosing you because you're the best, right? And Google says, yes, we have people choose us because we're the defaults don't matter. It's because we're the best. And the government says, well, if defaults don't matter, why are you paying billions of dollars every year to maintain those defaults? Google had no good answer. And then there's the issue of scale. Google, in remaining the monopoly in search, gets all sorts of data on the users, on their searches, that they're able to use to further lock up their monopoly. This is data that competitors don't have and can't get in order to innovate a better solution. So we're stuck with this toxic sludge factory in search because Google has the scale to use that data. Of course, Google says scale doesn't matter. And then there's questions around the ads. That was another part of this lawsuit, that Google seems to be raising prices on advertisers at will. That's another thing that a monopolist does. There's no checks on the price-raising capability of a monopolist. And so all told, you have a company that is not oriented towards the good of anyone but itself, and it's stamping out competition to prevent us from getting anything better. And because of that, friends, the government had to step in. And the end effect, was Judge Amit Mehta's decision, which came out and said, quote, let me just read this for you. He said, after having carefully considered and weighed the witness testimony and evidence, the court reaches the following conclusion. Google is a monopolist, and it has acted as one to maintain its monopoly. And friends, that's when we won. Time to dance again. That's some more dance music for you, friends. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tectonic on WFMU. My name is Mark Hurst, and we are celebrating, right? Do you hear it? We're celebrating. That's the sound of celebration, friends. We're having a party. Google, yes, that's right. That's right. Google lost its antitrust case. What does everyone think of that? People are happy. Google lost. Department of Justice representing us, the citizens, won. And we've got a chance to do something really, really significant in the tech industry. Something I've been waiting for ever since I started this show. It's great news. Great news. Now, Okay, let's settle down. I want to say something else. There's an irony about this trial that this is the largest or the most significant thing to happen in the tech industry, certainly the most significant case in the tech industry for over 20 years. Because the last time something this important happened was another antitrust case. It was the Microsoft antitrust case, which has some interesting parallels to what just happened with Google. Now, in the late 90s, Microsoft was acting as a monopolist. It was doing all sorts of bullying and monopolistic sorts of things with its Windows monopoly. And when the web started to get popular, Bill Gates decided that he wanted to snuff out any possibility of the web doing something out of his control. Bill Gates likes control, okay? And so what he did was, in the face of Netscape Navigator, this new web browser that was coming out that worked well, people liked it, it was taking people to creative and new possibilities online, Bill Gates said, oh, no, no, I want everyone to use my web browser. And those of you who are old enough remember this thing, it was called Internet Exploder. I mean, Internet Explorer. It's one of those. We all called it Internet Exploder. And it was a very crappy web browser by design. Microsoft was saying, hey, you want to use the web? Oh, not really. The web is really crappy. Here, use this crappy web browser and you can see how crappy the web is. You don't want to use the web. You want to stay within Windows, the nice, comfortable mediocrity of Windows, buggy, virus prone, but at least you know it. It's the default. Everyone defaults to Windows. Just use Windows and don't use the web. And the government came in and said, Microsoft, you cannot bundle Internet Explorer with Windows and force people with this default, force people to use your crappy browser. That's going to snuff out competition from the web. Well, Microsoft is kind of like, well, that was sort of the point. But anyway, the DOJ came at them and the DOJ won. We were at this point. But back in when was it decided? When was the Microsoft case decided? 2000. It was decided in favor of the citizens. DOJ won the case. Microsoft was finally deemed officially an illegal monopoly, just as Google was a week ago. But what happened next is the playbook for what Google is going to do next. Microsoft appealed. Google is going to appeal. Okay. Microsoft appealed, and the appeal was still in process. I don't think it was decided, but at some point, George W. Bush came in and said, forget the whole thing. So that's what's going to happen in this case. I'll get to the next steps for Google, but let me finish this story about Microsoft, because there's a supreme irony here. Microsoft, even though they were able to run out the clock, so to speak, on their case and go free, the word from inside Microsoft that came out years later is that after the judgment initially came through, inside Microsoft, when the judgment against Microsoft came through, that Microsoft was a monopolist, people were spooked. And management was saying, hey, why don't you just ease off a little bit on the bullying? Just back off a little bit from the monopolistic behavior, just for a little bit until we run out the clock. So we can show that we're trying to be a good citizen temporarily until this all blows over and we can get back to our misbehavior. And just in that moment, when Microsoft was loosening the death grip on the web just for a few months, Google was born. And I don't mean that it was founded exactly in those months, but Google, in that period, that short period of time, when Microsoft had backed off from trying to kill the web, Google was able to survive its infancy and begin growing and showing people that there was an alternative to Microsoft monopoly hegemony that everyone hated. And Google came out and said, it doesn't have to be this way. You can have a clean, easy, friendly entry to the web, not crappy like Internet Explorer. And everyone said, wow, we have an option. Microsoft said, well, if you want to leave, we're not going to stop you just yet. And everyone flooded over to Google. And Google, in its founding years, was so intent on showing up Microsoft that they emblazoned it in their official slogan that they were not going to be Microsoft. The slogan was, don't be evil. And what that meant was, we are not going to be Microsoft. We are not going to turn into an illegal monopoly. And the rest, as they say, is history. Google, in fact, if anything, has out-Microsofted Microsoft itself. And Microsoft is still around and still misbehaving. I've done shows on that. But just talking about Google today, the depth of their unethical behavior. I mean, I have been covering it now, as I said, for almost 7 years. That's why I'm so pumped about this decision. Google has turned into Microsoft and more. And so we should all be happy about this decision that Google has been shown up by the citizens, represented by the Department of Justice, saying, hey, you are not above the law. And even though you tried to kill off competition with your defaults and with your crappy search results, it didn't work. You know, because we saw what you were doing and we turned it off, just like what the DOJ did back in 2000. And, you know, I am going to say something. I am going to say something about what happens next. The inevitable appeal someone asked on the comment board about that. And I'm going to say what the next steps are for Google, because I already know what they are. But for right now, let's dance a little bit, friends, shall we? Let's get up out of our chairs, and I want to see you dance. Come on. Come on, let's hear it, friends. Google is an official, illegal monopoly. Come on, do it, Hot 8 Brass Band. That's right, that's a Hot 8 Brass Band with Shake Your Body Down to the Ground, and we are celebrating our win as citizens, our win together against Google, a $3 trillion company that thought it was above the law, and they were wrong. This is Tectonic on WFMU, and I want to say something about the next steps in this case, because it's not over. Oh, no, no, no. If we thought that, if I've given the impression that we somehow have won permanently, no, that's not the case. Just as in Microsoft, there's going to be an appeal. Google is going to appeal this. They are not going to admit any wrongdoing. They're not going to admit that they have any decline in search quality. They are not going to admit probably even there are allegations. This is what I meant to say before. Even in the Microsoft trial, this didn't get this far, that Microsoft didn't descend to this level. There are allegations that have been reported on that there was evidence being destroyed within Google that would have been material to the explorations of the prosecution. Even Microsoft was not apparently destroying evidence during its trial, but that sounds like what Google was doing. Gosh, we can't find those emails. They must have gotten deleted. You know, as though who can figure out computers these days? Am I right? Oh, someone should call the IT guy. Here at Google, we don't know anything about email. Yeah, we don't know anything about holding on to information longer than we should. Yeah, exactly, Google. Who knows what happened to those emails? You can look online to weigh yourself what you think the happened with those emails and what the allegations were. But I'm just saying that Google's unethical behavior was so consistent with how it acts every day towards its users. And anyway, we're not going to get any admission of guilt or wrongdoing from the company. But what we are going to see is we're going to see an appeal. Actually, before the appeal, there's going to be a remedy, sort of like the sentencing step. The judge is going to come back with a remedy, and that's what Google is going to appeal. Let me say a bit about the remedy. The remedy that the judge could come back with could be anywhere in a range from a very milquetoast, you know, finger shaking like, hey, Google, don't do that again. That's real bad. It could be very ineffective like that. There's a range all the way to what you might call the nuclear option of actually breaking up Google. You know, ads go to this company. Search has to split off into its own company. Google's YouTube, the toxic sludge algorithm, and all have to go to yet a different company. There's a number of ways to divide up Google into independent companies, and that is what might have happened to Microsoft if the government, if W's administration hadn't dismissed the whole thing. But that's on the table for Google. And of course, that's what I support. That's what I'm hoping for, is a breakup. And in fact, Google would never admit to this, but in business history, the breakups, like the breakup of Ma Bell, turned into a great win for the citizens because it opened up air and sunlight into these processes, into these technologies, and innovation flourished. And we got a lot of more interesting, cool things that came out of breaking up a toxic monopoly. So it would be better for all of us if there was a breakup. We should all hope for a breakup. But whatever the remedy is that the judge comes back with in the next several weeks or months or whatever, Google's going to appeal. The appeal is going to they're either going to win the appeal, in which case, you know, it's over, or Google's going to lose. If they lose the appeal, they're going to try to take this to the Supreme Court. That's the next step. So it's appeal and then to the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court accepts the case, you know, do I need to fill in the blank? We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. In other words, there are many, many ways for us to still lose the case effectively from this point on. There are many ways. It could be a bad remedy. We could lose the appeal. The Supreme Court could judge in Google's favor, or whoever the next president is. And by the way, I'm being nonpartisan here. Both candidates have been analyzed in their positions as possibly being candidates to dismiss this whole thing. We don't know. So I won't get into presidential politics right now, but let me just overall say we're not out of the woods. However, because of that, because things are so touch and go, I feel like now that we have a moment of good news. Now is the time we should be celebrating. What do you think? Yeah, that's what I thought. And there's one song that celebrates the creativity of the internet that we should listen to and all dance to celebrate. That's right, thank you. To celebrate Google's loss now that it is an illegal monopoly. Let's hear it, hamster. That's the Hamsterdam song. That's right. Oh, there it is again. Are you dancing? I think the crowd wants more. They're clapping for more. All right, settle down, hamster. The crowd wants more. You want more? Okay. We need more dance tunes. We're just in the last 10 minutes here on WFMU Tectonic. I want you to stay tuned after the show for Dave Mandel and his show, It's Complicated. Here's a song the station manager Ken likes to play, and this is another example of the creativity on the internet that should flourish. We should be celebrating our victory against Google today. The path ahead is difficult, friends. But today, we dance. And we dance to this song.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down.
Come on, how about a cheer for the DOJ, everybody?
There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right.
That's right.
Everybody's wrong.
Come on, dance, everybody. That's it. Come on, let Google know what you're thinking. That's it. People. Hey, how about a cheer for Lena Khan over at the FTC, huh? That's right, she's doing a great job. Lena Khan, everybody. And that was Buffalo MC with Stop and Bust the Move. Hey, let's do one more song. We're running out of time here, but I really like this one. Kind of a vaporwave version of a well-known song. Come on, everybody, get up and dance. That's right. Come on, let's dance. What do you think? What do you think? Yeah, we beat Google, that's right. We beat them. And we're gonna keep beating them. We'll take it to the Supreme Court if we've got to, and we'll beat them there. And then we'll break them up. Come on, everybody, jump. Jump! friends. You're listening to the greatest radio station in the world, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, and online at WFMU.org. Until next time, friends, you know exactly what to do. Avoid Apple. Abandon Amazon. Forget Facebook. And whatever you do, get off Google! And I want you to stay tuned for Dave Mandel with his show, It's Complicated. Coming up here in just a moment, and I want you to have a great week. Thanks, everybody, for joining in this party. I give you one last couple of minutes to dance. Have a good time, everyone. Let's celebrate our win.
Hey there, and welcome to another exciting installment of It's Complicated, an hour of Prague and Prague-adjacent music hosted by yours truly, Dave Mandel. I'm here every Monday at this time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for joining me. We're going to start tonight's show with saxophones, lots of saxophones, many saxophones. Going to hear something from the group Urban Sax. Urban Sax is a group led by a guy named Gilbert Artman, who is also known as the as a member of the band Lard Free. He's French, and Urban Sax is a group that features, an ever-changing lineup, but saxophones, lots of saxophones. The word is that they've done live performances with up to 200 sax players. That's a lot of saxophones. I don't know if there are 200 on this, but we're going to hear a track from an album called Spiral that was released in 1991. And they, Urban Sax, well, as you will hear, they have sort of one foot in the RIO, rock and opposition camp. A lot of sort of contemporary classical elements to their music. Anyway, you'll hear right now, this is Urban Sax.
Oh.
And that's the group Urban Sax. Again, they are French, or were French, group led by Gilbert Artman. And that was a piece called Traveling to Professor Velvosky in B-flat minor. Can you confirm that that was in B-flat minor? Anyone listening have perfect pitch? I'm not sure. It was in a minor key. I can confirm that. Anyway, track from their album Spiral from 1991, Urban Sax. Now, I'm going to play a cover of a King Crimson tune. Now, the King Crimson tune, a lot of people, including me, consider the early 70s or mid-70s lineup of King Crimson to be one of the greatest bands to ever walk the face of the earth. That's pretty much a fact. Don't argue. And the first album that band put out was called Lark's Tongues in Aspic, and it included a track called Lark's Tongues in Aspic Part 2, which I would say unofficially is just one of the most influential pieces of prog rock ever recorded. Again and again and again, the stuff I play on this show, you hear not only King Crimson's influence, but that track's influence. It's just an incredibly, an amazing piece of music, and just an incredible.